I just want to make a couple of comments, and then I want to talk about where the worship team took us to the cusp. Because many of us may have sat in church, and we don't take the time to really allow the presence of God to leave. If you're a guest, God took me to Cambodia about 18 months ago now, 15 months ago, and literally just did a perfect storm on me to where I could not come back and do church as status quo. And whenever when we become a church of 500, I don't want to go back to status quo either. I mean, we have to be a people that pursue the Lord. But I love what's going on with Francis Chan also. Very successful church in California. And it got to a place where he says, God, we're not allowing God to move enough. And he left that church and now is pursuing where he's supposed to land. So I say all that. It's not just me. It's not just you. The Spirit of God's moving on the face of the earth. And status quo will not satisfy us anymore. I'll put it this way. Lukewarmness will not satisfy anymore. Many of us, we don't realize how we got in a blasé spiritual attitude, and lukewarmness became our attitude. It became the way we lived our life through the week. It became the way that we came and we put on our Jesus' face. Anybody ever put on a Jesus face on Sunday morning and you look like you're in love with God, and you are in love with God? But you know, no more than you've left an hour down the road, there's about 20 to 30 kids in the children's ministry. You can be praying for Jennifer and them today. It's a good problem to have. But I went to Cambodia and I met a group of people who are poor in the natural, but rich in the spirit. And I understood what it says in Revelations, you think you're rich. Everybody stay with me today. I'm going to stay hard on you. Of really, we've got to go for God to a whole nother realm. It's not enough to live our life, come and put on our Jesus face on Sunday, and then be living the way we want to live by Sunday afternoon. And I'm going to speak on truth today because I found out how much of religious truth I had fallen into over the years. And how God so wants to do something in each and every one of us. What I saw, a group of poor people going after God. The service that probably impacted me the most was a 7-hour service. We don't even have enough spiritual attention to go 30 minutes. We've had to dummy our services down. Oh, the youth, y'all can go out. Or Becky, I'm sorry, I saw her standing over there. Go, you going to say anything? We started our youth service a couple of weeks ago after praise and worship, and I forgot, so I apologize. The Mazdens are doing a fabulous job. This is what Francis Chan has said in his book. He says, it doesn't make sense that Almighty God would have children characterized by fear and insecurity. How many of us deal with fear and insecurity, and it even keeps us down to where we don't even obey God in the most simple things? He put His Spirit in us so we could be known by His power through us. Sadly, most believers in churches are known for talent or intellect rather than the supernatural power. What's worse is that we're okay with it. And I tell you sadly today, didn't realize it, but I had become okay with it. And I came from a very good church, but I mean, all of us can fall into a blasé of just that lukewarm living. So Nick goes on to say this, could it be that we've forgotten the one who distinguishes us from every religion and cult in the world? The benchmark of success in the church services has become more about attendance than the movement of the Holy Spirit. The entertainment model of church was largely adopted in the 80s and 90s, and while it alleviated some of the boredom for a couple of hours a week, this is really good, it filled our churches with self-focused consumers rather than self-sacrificing servants attuned to the Holy Spirit. When I read that, it really moves upon my heart because, you know, you heard the phrase back in the late 90s in this last decade about seeker-friendly churches. We don't do things that would convict us, if you will. We do things, some of us may not even be used to anymore of having somebody like Candace come up here and dance. Can I tell you, the Old Testament's full of the worshipers being sent out dancing like that. But yet we've dummied it down in our churches because we don't want it to be a flinch factor. Now, I assure you it'd be a flinch factor if I got up there and danced. You'd do it if you have the anointing. But we've also lost the ability to take time to sing in the Spirit. You really like that one, right, Leslie? You got the visual of me dancing. I can always count on Leslie. Yeah. But in Ephesians, it talks about singing a new song. Friday night, we had a worship night, worship and intercession. I can't beg you enough that on the third Friday night, you save that date to be with the Lord here. You know, plan all those other three or four Friday nights, but save that third Friday night because it was incredible. It was really cool because we had that rain and you just hear the rain running through the pipes and everything. It's really, really cool. But it's really, this nation needs a major revival. I was reading a word by Chuck Pierce this past week, and I'm jumping around here and I'm going to land of where I'm going here in a moment. It really bothered me the way our president sat with such arrogance with the prime minister of Israel. I'm a guy who believes that if you walk in covenant with Israel, you're going to be blessed. I believe in a lot of those Old Testament truths. And our president this past week said some stuff for the whole world to see that I really believe, and even as Chuck Pierce said in his word, that he had a dream, I can't remember how many years ago, and in the dream there was a statement made by a leader of our nation to Israel that could literally open the door to incredible hardship coming to our nation. I hope you're praying for our president every day. He needs to have an encounter with God just like I need to have an encounter with God. But I'm here to tell you, I read an article again about our nation by Reinhard Bonnke talking about Africa used to be the dark place in the world. And now it's aflame with revival. And he's been thinking about, and he's being asked all across the world, because Reinhard Bonnke is an international speaker, is the dark nation becoming America? And so all of these things came together of where I was getting ready to share. So back to where the worship team took us a while ago, open worship. Israel's just came through the Red Sea. It's just come through the Red Sea. And all of a sudden it says this, and you can read this in Exodus. Read in Ephesians of where we're supposed to sing a new song. That new song is what you've seen God do in your life. This is what happens. They get across the other side. They're watching Egypt come after them. They've just come across the dry ground. You know they've got to be thinking, oh my gosh. Here all of Egypt gets into the middle of the Red Sea, and all of a sudden where the water had been open, all of a sudden it come crashing in on them. And a new song was released through Moses and Israel. Then Moses and the children of Israel, and this is found in Exodus 15, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. He has chosen captains. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank like to the bottom like a stone. And it goes on and on. Open worship, a new song. That first song that we sing, I think we walk through the day and we miss the colors that glorify God all day long. The sun and the moon that declares his goodness and greatness. We miss. So I would ask you, what did you walk upon this week that you saw the faithfulness of God show up on? That's the new song that when the worship team got us to that cusp of heaven, if you will, that's what God wanted you to bust out with. Maybe it's celebrating an anniversary and you see the goodness and faithfulness of God doing an incredible miracle in 2 and 3 years of your marriage and different things of that. Maybe it's him sustaining you through a hard season of him being faithful and him being a comforter and counselor to you in the season. That's what we're trying to allow the Holy Spirit to do, is to get us to a cusp to where that new song flows out of our mouth declaring, God, when Egypt was after me, I saw him sink and couldn't hinder me. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Mary goes into Elizabeth. In Luke, you can read this. She says one word and Elizabeth goes, oh my gosh, John the Baptist leaped in her womb. And all of a sudden it talks about Mary's song just erupting out of her. That's a new song. So this is what I want you to do. This week, watch God move in your life. Let that new song be released on Monday. Let it be released on Tuesday. And then Sunday when we come together, if the Holy Spirit takes us to the cusp of that place once again, could you imagine if there were 50, 75 songs released of God's faithfulness to every one of us? Amen? All right. That's not the preaching, though. That's just the intro of the intro of the intro, okay? I know Rhett was going, good word, amen, let's go. Just kidding. So, well, last week I started speaking on truth. Well, let me back up a moment. I've got a bunch of notes here I have to do, so I'm going to get the second one here. Whoop. There, it dropped. Good. That dropped too. We're not worried about tidiness and all those things that I just read about. So we got a good cleaning crew. Amen. Praise the Lord. My son and his compadres. First of all, you know, one of the pillars of this house is honor. And I want to honor so many of you and every one of you who are members of your hunger and pursuit and passion for the Lord. And I believe we're going to push through something that will really open up the gates of heaven into this area, that many would be saved and healed and delivered. I want to double honor the Willard family, Jennifer and Jeff. Jennifer has just done an incredible job in children's ministry of 2 or 3 weeks. She apparently must be doing something right as a wife. She helped Jeff get Teacher of the Year this past week at Hebron High. So we bless you. God's word says that work is holy. If it's holy, don't you think we ought to do the most excellent job at it? That's the reason I wanted to honor Jeff for taking the time. You can be an average teacher. You can settle for status quo of being a husband and wife. But if God calls work holy, and he calls my life holy, and our work holy, and our relationships holy, don't you think we ought to do everything with excellence? So, Jeff, I appreciate you setting a tempo of the kingdom of God there at Hebron with that. I know him and Jennifer hate it when I recognize them, but I want to. Jason Jones, it's great to have you back from your sabbatical. He got our 3 speakers hung up here. They had been down here, and it just makes a great sound. And then he cleaned the stage and just did an incredible, incredible job. And if you haven't gone to our web, it's hopedfw.com. I encourage you to go to it. He's totally changed it. Again, it's done with excellence. Done with so much excellence. And then this past week, Andrew Russell, on his 36th birthday, did a men's Bible study here. We do our men's Bible study from 7 to 8:30 on Wednesday morning. If you haven't come and you can come, I invite you to come. Even if you can only come to 8, I know Red has to scoot off to work and everything, and others, you know, may not stay for the whole duration. But this past week was incredible. And what I reflected on this past week of where we have jumped off to as Hope Fellowship of North Texas is the people that are getting to do so much. Treasures that you never even knew was in your life unless you get an opportunity to dance. And man, when Andrew brought the Bible study on men's Bible study, I know that there were many of you talking about it 2 or 3 days later. I look at Jess Brown and I see her having the opportunity to sing, and others the opportunity to do. Rebecca doing the women's prayer deal. It's time to dance, church. We've sat on the sidelines so long. Again, I've said this before, Garth Brooks, big Garth Brooks fan. I'm a country and western fan. He sings that song, he wouldn't want to miss the dance. Do you want to miss the dance of the way that you could dance for the Lord? It's a great, great song, because when I hear of it, I think of it as a kingdom song. And how sad it's going to be to, yeah, you get to heaven, your ticket's punched, but you miss the whole dance. Not just on Sunday morning, but the dance of witnessing and talking to somebody about the Lord. I would ask you, are you missing the dance? Because you're so consumed about yourself. You're so consumed about your issues. And God knows they're there. He even tells you in Matthew 6:33, if you'll push past those issues and make his kingdom the first, first in your life, he'll take care of all that. Amen? So don't miss the dance. All right, that was intro number 2. We're going to get there yet. So You don't want to miss the month of June on Sundays. We're really going to focus on evangelism. This past week, there was about five of them that just gathered up. One of the blueprints we're going to be using is a book on treasure hunting that we got from that I got from Bethel about 7 years ago that some have used. I know that the Clevengers, and I can't remember who all else went, Wendy K. Russell led it, and I'm going to let them share their testimonies as we kick off evangelism in June. That really, there's a treasure within everybody, but the lost don't, out there don't know the treasure's in them. And they need some kingdom hunters to go looking for them. This book is a blueprint of how we're going to do kingdom life, of going out there and hunting amongst the ashes in people's lives, the brokenness, the hopelessness, and find the treasure of Christ within them. So you don't want to miss June as we share. Even the second week in June, we're going to have about a three tag team preaching and teaching on evangelism and the different ways that it functions. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then next week, you do not want to miss, is Coley and Jason. Coley, you do have to share at least 10 minutes. And Jason, you get five. Just kidding. And they're going to share about what it was in Jason's six-month sabbatical. His sabbatical was he got a six-month prison term that he had to go off for. And to see the faithfulness of God that worked in their life and everything. So we want to give God glory because he's in those seasons big time when we're walking through some tough times. All right, in all of that, turn to Mark 8. Last week I continued teaching. It says in Matthew 16, 13 through 20, that God builds the church. And if we'll let him build the church, it'll be amazing what can happen. In fact, when we let him build the church, the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, that's a pretty good promise, right? Too many of our lives have the gates of hell prevailing, and I would almost tell you that it's because you're not allowing God to build his church in your life. The church we talked about last week's not a building. In the American mindset, we think church is a building. You, and as you look up what the word ekklesia, church, means in the Greek, it's a group of people. Local church, a group of people in a larger region. And we want to be those people that really allow God to build his kingdom. So last week I started speaking about truth and love. Ephesians 4 talks about there's going to come a time where there's going to raise up a generation that moves in the government that God has ordained for such a time as this. And that they will be able to speak truth and love. And all of the tossing to and fro that's going on in our life and going on in the church will cease. Because there will be a level of authority and truth on that government that will cause us to be able to walk through the Red Seas and see great victory. Amen? So last week I talked about love. We can't speak truth and love until we let it capture our hearts. So many times we're out there trying to speak it, which is nothing but a clanging cymbal of religion when we haven't let God perfect love in us. Last week I read out of the New Living Translation, towards the end, I read 1 Corinthians 13, where love does not remember wrong, does not keep a record of being wrong. But yet so many of us, when we get into a disagreement with our spouse, with a family member, or with a friend, we have the tendency that we bring up something that happened 3 weeks ago. Well, hold on, true love, agape love, doesn't do that. So if we want to have authority, and my heart is, we went on a little prayer journey this past Friday praying over Harry Hines Boulevard and Northwest Highway, where we've allowed a lot of filth to come into our city. Before I can help change that, I've got to let love be perfected in me. Some of you have family members you have to forgive, and it's hard. So many times God, and I shared this last week, God will take your strengths, which you may be full of mercy and love, and he'll put somebody next to you that's so truth-oriented it just rubs you the wrong way. But God's ordained that to happen because he says, I put living stones together connected to the cornerstone. My challenge last week was that we'd quit complaining about the people that God puts us next to, because more than likely it's trying to perfect love. Not more than likely, it is. He's trying to perfect where we learn to speak truth and love. Truth spoken without love is religion. Love without truth is what I believe we have in our nation. My heart was broken this week. Another governor in a 10-year affair with his wife, a child. We have three teachers in the Metroplex alone having inappropriate relationships this past week. All of these things. That's love without truth. Amen? All right. There's intro number four. Now we're ready to go for it. If you will, let's honor God and His Word, and just let's stand up, because there was something that about truth that just continued to hit my heart big time this week. And Jesus left them, left the Pharisees, and getting into the boat again, He departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. You got to realize how dumb these guys were. He had just multiplied bread, the seven loaves and catering business back there. He just multiplied the seven loaves of bread and fed 4,000 men. So many times we forget God's miracles. And so it's a dumb statement that they go, oh my gosh, we forgot bread. And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven. A truth is what that means. That comes from the Pharisees and the leaven, a truth of Herod. What I want us to look at there, Pharisees represent religious people. There's a truth that tries to come through religion that makes us impotent in the power of God. There's a truth that tries to come through politics that Herod is represented that makes us where we depend upon Republicans and Democrats to get us victory and not the kingdom of God. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So He said to them, how is it you do not understand? And that's a question I think God wants to ask each and every one of us. How do we still not understand? Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank You for Your goodness and faithfulness, Lord. We thank You for Your kingdom. We thank You for Your love that is pure and true. And Lord, we do just love You, give You praise. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to get hearts prepared for Your word. God, continue to bring forth Your truth in love into each of our lives. We love You and we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Jesus came 100%, 1:14 through 16, John 1:14 through 16, 100% full of grace and 100% full of truth. He wasn't a half a tank of grace and a half of love and a half a tank of truth. He was 100% maxed out, and He stayed maxed out in truth and love. His love is so pure and so powerful that it covers over a multitude of sins. His truth is so liberating, it says in John 8, that it sets people free. I'm going to ask you then, why do so many of us sit in church all over this nation and we're not walking in freedom? And I want to challenge some of our mindsets of how we're seeing truth and how much of a tainted culture of truth of Pharisees has creeped into our lives, and how much of a tainted political realm, the culture of the world, has creeped into our lives. That's the reason I believe we're so impotent in power in so many different ways. For our own lives individually, for our lives as a corporate body, for our lives as a corporate body across this metroplex, we're tainted with the truths of religion and truths of the world. Chris Bennett, I was going to say, this guy drew this all by himself, and I thought he just gave it to us 2 weeks ago. And for those that are guests, can somebody come hold this so I can talk? And there you go. Before I drop it, he paid some pretty good bucks for that frame. Just show it to everybody. It really represents how when we got time with God, the chain gets broken off. But that also represents, he didn't know I was going to be speaking on truth. I didn't realize I was going to speak on truth to this realm until just a few days ago when God really started illuminating of what how he wanted me to speak to truth. So many of us are tied to the culture of the earth, and we're looking for God to do great miracles when so much of our life, thinking and ways, are tied to a culture of the earth. It's tied to the leaven of Herod. You can sit down. Everybody see it good? So this is what I want to do. This is what I want to go through real quickly. What are some of the leaven that's affecting us, that leaven of Pharisees that affects the way we think and the way that we live? Those Ten Commandments that was given in Exodus 20, by the time that Christ returned, those Ten Commandments had turned into 650-plus commandments. There were bullet points that they had put under different ones of them because that's what religion will do. It'll try to put more bondage on you, or it'll try to get you to have liberty in the midst of sin. Now, please, everybody, stay with me, because I believe God wants to set us free. We want liberty, but yet what we're doing, we're compromising the pure word of God. Okay, let's look at a couple of these things. The first bullet point I want to look at is found in Mark 7, 16 through 6 through 16. In this story, you can just turn over a page and you can look at it. In this story, the Pharisee, well, let's just go ahead and read it. We're going to take 3 hours in this message today. Just kidding. Come on. They come to Jesus. The Pharisees do. Again, they have their leaven of truth because their religion will make us impotent. It'll make us limited power. It says this, and the Pharisees ask him, and he answered this to them. Did Isaiah not prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines as they were commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you've come up with the commandment. If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit I might have received from me is Corban. That is a gift from God, so I don't have to honor you. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. In many such things you do. What this means is $2,000 that they may have set up, or a piece of property they may have set up, that they could help their mom and dad when they get old and they're not as moving along as well as they should and could in all those different things. They came up with the commandment because money had become their idol and no longer was it God. The two greatest commandments are this, is that you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, you love your neighbor as yourself. Religion will even try to test you, will tell me who my neighbor is. Well, what they had done here, say they had $5,000 set aside in a savings account, in a money market account, in their portfolio, but they wanted to use it on their own flesh. They had come up with a bullet point under honor your mother and father. Oh, well, we'll just call it Corban. That way I don't have to take any of this money. I can religiously say I love my mother and father and honor them, but we're not helping them financially. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody understand? Religion will do. It'll make the word of God. This is what Scripture just says. It makes the word of God of no power with our traditions. The leaven of pharisaical thinking, the very leaven and truth of religion, has seeped into our churches to where many of us individually and corporately move in very little power of God. So that was one bullet point that they started seeping and stinking into there. We have denominations ordaining homosexuals as pastors and leaders of their denominations. I'm not here to pass judgment on them, but Martin Luther, when you read and you study about this great man of God in the 1500s, that now has become the Lutheran Church, he was a man that talked about the grace of God and the power of God. When you study and you read about Martin Luther, incredible man of God. But the very well that they started on, the very platform that they started on of truth and love, of moving in incredible power, the Lutheran Church now ordains homosexuals and lesbians and things of that nature. When the Word of God says in Romans 1, 20 through 13, we shouldn't even think that any of these will enter the kingdom of God. We have to understand, really, the leaven of pharisaical way is evil, and it's making us impotent, and it's making churches and denominations in my own life that I started this out about before I went to Cambodia to see of how much I had become that frog in the pan of the little heat turning up, that how much I had compromised the power of God and the power of His truth and the power of His love. That I loved with such a condition, if you forgave to a measure or whatever. And I could almost boldly say every one of us in this room are living and doing it the same way. No, we might rate, and God doesn't rate sin. In fact, when you look at the reason that they didn't get to enter the promised land, isn't it amazing that one of them is? One was sexual immorality, but number two was unthankfulness. So if we sit here today and we think, well, hey, I wouldn't ordain homosexuals and lesbians. Well, I want to ask you, are you unthankful? Because that will keep us from entering the promised land. Are we going to be a people that don't cast stones upon the Lutherans, but are we going to be a people of humility? Because let me tell you what, Charismatic Church is full of the sexual immorality that goes on. So I'm not here to say the Charismatics knows its ways and purposes better than the Lutherans. The Charismatic Church is full of pastors falling into sexual immorality and leadership falling into sexual immorality. I'm going to say it this way. The love and truth that Christ lived in cost Him His life. The very love and passion that He had for His Father and His Father's business would make Him go to the cross. Is your love costing you dying to flesh that way? No, we may never have to have love that'll drive us to the cross, but to that kind of cross of an actual physical death. But the place of love that we ought to be costing us something severely every day. The truth and the passion of the truth that He lived in would drive Him to the cross, that He would not look to the left and right, where He would literally be pierced and he would shed the blood and the stripes would be put upon His body. Are you living in that measure of truth? Because this isn't here to cast stones at the Lutherans and the other things I'm talking about. I'm looking at the Charismatic Church and I'm going, God, where's the power? God hasn't changed. We've changed. Because we want to dummy down and we want to live our lives acting like our choices and decisions are not causing a consequence. Let me tell you what, the church is living in very limited power. That's enough consequence. Because if I really want to see a young lady set free on Harry Hines Boulevard, I'm going to have to live in a whole other realm of love and truth. If we really want to go treasure hunting and see, and they got to pray for 5 or 6 people this past week. If we really want to see them set free, we're going to have to live in a realm of truth and love that will start causing us some pain. Amen? Amen. So are we going to get to a place where we start praying for denominations to come back to the platform that they started on? I was moved yesterday reading about all the things that Martin Luther did. I'm sure he's part of the cloud of witnesses going, man, that was not the denomination that you, God, had me start. We have denominations that preach and teach that miracles and healing stopped at the death of the last apostle. How can that be so when Mark 16, 15 through 18 says signs and wonders will follow those who believe? They will do great exploits. Why do we have churches preaching something so totally opposite of the Word of God? 1 Corinthians 4:20 says that the kingdom of God is not of word, but it's of power. We have to get a revelation that when we lay hands on one another and we lay hands on people out there, that something is going to happen. That heaven's coming to earth. But where's the leaven seeped into your life? When you lay hands on people, does that leaven start telling you, oh, you don't have the anointing for this? But you know, sometimes we don't. The gifts are irrevocable. God doesn't take those away. But I'm thinking sometimes we're not being so bold because we know the life of compromise we're living through the week. I wonder how much bolder we would be this afternoon if we really get right with God and we say, God, if it costs me everything, I'm going to walk in truth, your truth. And I'm going to walk in your love. Are we going to be a humble people and know again that we're not casting stones at the denominations who believe that? Because again, I'm saddened by the sexual inappropriateness that's going on in the charismatic community. Are we going to humble and pray for them and see the power of God released? The political correctness that has seeped into the church that has made us impotent in society. That we don't call sin, sin. When Romans 1 makes it very clear that that group of people will not inherit the kingdom of God. But yet we become a seeker-friendly churches that we don't say that's sin. Barna's report of 60% of men who confess to be Christians but deal with internet pornography is a sad state of why there's so much impotence in the American church. If you're a man and you struggle with that, I can't encourage you enough that you come and get prayer today. We'll get you ministry, but I'm telling you, it's time to quit having an excuse. Because what we're saying, we don't love enough, and we're not willing to live at the truth that love and truth cost Jesus everything. Where are we compromising in? Jesus promised in John 14:12 that there would be a movement happen in a group of people that the greater works of Jesus would be released. So many times the greater works is not moved in our midst because we don't have the character. If God was to move that in our midst, we would all fall apart within a week because of the compromise in our life, possibly. The political correctness that we see in America, in society, came because the American church has moved in political correctness. All right, that's just a little bit. I wanted to hit on the leaven of the Pharisees. Now I want to hit on the leaven of Herod politics. In 1962, June 25th, 1962, the Supreme Court did a vote that I believed, and you can argue with everything you want, for 342 years, I believe it is. Right at 342, I could look at my stat on my Google, but it's going to be close. Prayer was in the school. And this was the simple prayer. And then again, I know that we've only been since 1976. This was when we were still part of England. That this simple prayer was prayed every day before school. Almighty God, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge our dependence upon thee. And we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. Now you think of the very thing that a group of kids, when it was first removed in 1962, they were estimated 39 million students in the American school public system. And I know that we can say, well, they can still pray, but when your authority makes a decision like that, what it does, it opens up the gates of hell because the authority made a decision. I believe that we're at a time that who you are covenantly connected to is big time important. Because if you're connected, it's kind of like John Paul Jackson said when we went and listened to him about a month ago. When God's getting ready to bring judgment, discipline upon an organization because of their sin, you don't want to be connected to them. It is of utmost of who we're connected to spiritually. So I'm going to say it again. This was the simple prayer that was prayed for 342 years. Almighty God, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our countries. I Googled and Googled and Googled and before night, and I never could find a school shooting ever happen to a single school before 1962. The stats that I read was amazing, that even this last year there was like 11,000. And I have the stats on all that for anybody who wants to see it. 11,000. Truly crimes brought against fellow students, whether it be a gun, whether it be a beating. There was like 4,000 rapes in our school system last year, or 2009, I believe it was. Unbelievable how many guns were brought to school, and it was unbelievable that this simple prayer was a blessing upon these very four areas, upon us, upon our parents. Divorce rate went off the charts beginning in 1962 after this vote. Upon our teachers and upon our country. The stats were unbelievable, that it literally broke my heart, that would cause me to pray of the stats that happened after we voted prayer out of school. Over the years, that spirit of Herod, that spirit of politics, it's an evil thing, because it was evil that came in and made Adam and Eve sin. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's not things that we can see, but we've got to start judging the true numbers that reflect what's going on in our nation and what's even going on maybe in our own lives. So this little demonic spirit goes and it tags itself to somebody like ACLU. As I read and I studied everything, in 1925, ACLU first formed was the first little assault that asked a teacher to teach evolution in a school in Tennessee. Of course, the Supreme Court voted it down. It was against the law at the time, but all of a sudden, that little spirit on that particular organization, it started coming and bringing and tearing upon the very fabric of the kingdom of God in you and I, because the kingdom of God cannot be torn apart. Simple little prayer. Why should a prayer matter? Well, the greatest commandment says that I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. When we as a nation start saying, well, we don't, separation church and state, when you really look at that, Thomas Jefferson never said anything even close to that. It is sad when you truly go back and look at the true amendment and what he said in 1802, I believe it was. See, I didn't know I was this educated, did you? I know it's amazing, some of you out there. So now I want to keep going on of how we're tied to this level of thinking of this spirit of Herod, this spirit that is coming and moving rampant through our lives. So that happens in 62. Things start falling apart. And I know that some of you younger ones won't remember this. There was once we treated Sunday as a true day of Sabbath. In 1985, we passed a law called the Blue Law that said that, because again, when you take God out of things, all of a sudden you think it's going to be well for you, take God out of school and money, kind of like it says in scriptures, the grain falls out of your pocket faster than you can even put it in. Well, as we started taking God out of the prayer in the schools, the economic challenges that started coming to our nation were unbelievable. In that, we come to 1985. I mean, money's in trouble. We're starting to kind of shake and move and everything. Well, this is what it says in the stat that I looked at. They believe that, well, we'll open up all these stores and we'll let them sell all of these goods and everything else. And we expect $24 to $40 million of sale taxes to come in and be a blessing to our schools, a blessing for our cities. And all of a sudden, a day that had truly been a day of Sabbath and holiness and rest was removed. Now please hear me. I go to Walmart every now and then on Sunday. I'm not saying that's what the sin is. The sin is in every one of the thing that we all need to come into a question in our own hearts, have we taken God out of different areas of our life? You see, our nation did that because it was saying, God, we'll let you in this area, but we're not going to let you in this area. So I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell if you go to Tom Thumb today. What I'm saying and asking the Holy Spirit to check us all. God, have I taken you out of any area of my life? Amen? So let's look. We decide that even yesterday, I mean, I can always count on the Dallas Morning News to give me town hopes for a boom from liquor sales. So we start doing liquor sales. We start opening where we can sell beer and wine. Now, for some of you, I've struggled if I tell this truth. I don't want you to think I'm a hypocrite. I drink with some wine every now and then. For some of you, I went 14 years before I drank any alcohol after God delivered me. For some of you, I know some of your stories. You need to stay 5 miles away from alcohol. 55 miles away from alcohol for some of you. Because I had to get a revelation of God's love that what was once a spirit of bondage, once I knew His love, I could have a little freedom. Does that make sense? If not, I want to stay on this point for 27 more minutes. Okay, good, good. Oh, please, Jesus, no, no. So, we have trouble in our cities. The money's falling apart. What do? We look for a truth that's a counterfeit. Oh, you'll be made like God, just eat of the fruit. They were already like God. Money's short. Let's legalize and make beer and wine to be able to be bought on any Sunday, and let's open up liquor stores all across. It was unbelievable when you read this article. Frisco, McKinney, and other towns just like them, because of financial woes, started voting and passing liquor sales. But when I read the Old Testament, when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob really walked with God, didn't they have a plenty enough mules and camels and cattle and everything else? Come on, Nancy, say it a little louder. Amen. Right? Is that not true? But now, what do? The leaven of Herod has creeped in, and we look for a counterfeit truth. We're not willing to live at a truth and a love that cost us. Okay, let's go on down the road of let's just kind of see what Herod continued to creep in. That spirit. Oh, well, I remember this. Lottery is going to fix everything. There will not be a shortfall in any of our public schools. That's what was said. It's a counterfeit. Now, if you read the news, we're millions, billions, trillions of dollars in debt as a nation and as a state where multiple thousands of teachers could lose their jobs. But wait, I thought the lottery was supposed to fix all that back in the 80s. That's what they told us, and we believed it. We don't understand how much leaven has creeped into our lives. Where's the place of holiness? So now we have 46 jurisdictions, 43 states, plus the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands that have a lottery. But we're broke. But it was supposed to fix the problem. The only thing that's going to fix our problems in this nation is a return to Jesus Christ and His principles. The only thing that's going to make us a cancer-free zone and all those other things that we're going for is a reality that you and I are willing to walk in. I'm going to go back to Pastor Tim Chapman's message in October that I thought was so powerful and so profound. Acts 14, Paul is down and a group of people gather around him until he can get back up. We have to understand that my sin can affect you. We need to start understanding what kingdom community is really about. We need to start understanding that I want to live and make godly decisions where my wife and my children and my lineage line is blessed on down and you are blessed. Because of one man's sin named Achan and Joshua, because of his sin, 37 people died the next day when it was time to go take Ai. Am I saying be perfect? No, none of us are going to be perfect. But I'm talking about being so in tune to God that when He convicts us, and that's what I've been asking, that God would start convicting us as a nation, we would repent of our sin. Lottery is supposed to fix everything. Now we see that the counterfeit is truly that. Here's a funny one, man. This is one I just heard on the radio. I'm driving down the radio, and they're acting like this redneck from Oklahoma, this redneck from Louisiana. Man, thank you, Texans, for coming to the casinos here, man, because your tax your dollar is really raising our taxes. Can I tell you two of the poorest states in this nation are Oklahoma and Louisiana? It's a counterfeit, and the only thing that's going to awaken this nation is a return to Jesus Christ and his principles. Am I saying a casino's evil? That's between you and God. None of this stuff, it's between you and God. But when I heard that commercial, it was like, here's another one on truth. The only way we are going to see something really change in this nation is when one of us individually return back to Christ. A body decides to do it. A region of believers decide to do it. That they're not settling for the leaven of Herod and Pharisees. So what do we need to do to change the atmosphere? Another report about Barna is that each Christian, through his report, reads the Word of God 5 minutes a day. And it really made me think when they say in verse 14, we've forgotten the bread. There's only one loaf in the boat. Do you forget the bread, the living bread? That's how Jesus is known by. When you go through the week, there's 7 days in a week. Is there only one day that you read the Word? You got one loaf of bread in your life. Manna got old. The next morning, it was no good. What you read yesterday is not going to be sufficient for today. It should build onto it. Wouldn't it be awesome if the Holy Spirit came in here and did a poll? Or 5 years from now, CNN came in here and did a poll, and every member of Hope Fellowship of North Texas read the Word an hour, 2 hours a day. Isn't it amazing that those reports will say that Christians read 5 minutes a day? But my question would be, TV's not evil, but how much do we watch TV compared to reading the Word of God? We're impotent because we're not willing to walk in the standard that Jesus Christ walked in of truth and love. We are desperate need of the Holy Spirit, as I've read what I'd read out of Francis Chan. And I'm just not talking about an hour and a half on Sunday morning. I'm talking about when you go treasure hunting and you go to somebody at Walmart. It was unbelievable the things that they saw and heard and people that needed prayer. And treasure hunting is about us getting words of knowledge. We even know to go to the woman at the well at Walmart, if you will. Anybody can do it that wants and desires the Holy Spirit. And we need to be people of prayer. Friday night, we broke out the apostolic prayers. I have a copy for each and every one of you who want it. When I listen to Mike Bickle pray, and he's praying Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, and he's only on his 30th year praying these prayers, there's a depth of his prayer life that I don't know and don't touch. But I want to know and I want to touch it. It's the Word of God that is truth and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we pray the Word, that's something that goes into society. And I believe it opens up the heavens when you read, God, would you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you? Can I tell you, when you say that prayer for about a year straight, it starts opening up the heavens over a region. And people on Harry Hines or people in Macy's might just walk into the truth and a reality of that scripture, because this scripture is spirit and life. So are we going to be a people that return to the living bread, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to pray, especially the apostolic prayers? I wanted to do communion at the end that would tie in with the message. This communion represents the elements of Christ. This bread that it represents Jesus' body was broken and beaten And he lived at a place of truth that was no compromise. When we take these elements today, not only are we going to believe for healing because the stripes of Christ are healing. But what I want us to focus on also, are you going to take this bread and go, God, by your power, by your word, I want to live at that no compromising. Yeah, because I didn't even touch on the abortion things and many of the things that I could have talked about. This blood, there's this juice that represents the blood of Christ. Pure love. Are we willing to live at that unconditional love? These elements today represent the very life of Jesus Christ that lived at 100% perfection of truth and love. And when we take this today, I want you to take it in a place, God, I want to live at that place of truth and love. I want to live at that place of truth and love. I want your word to start costing me something once again. In closing, David made a comment when it was time to bury his wife. He went and bought a grave and he said something, I will not offer up something to God that doesn't cost me something. I've lived too much of my Christian life where my love for him and my love for people isn't costing me enough. My truth and my obedience to his truth is not costing me enough. And I want it to, and I'm not talking about work effort. But I'm telling you, it was work for Jesus to walk all the way to the cross. My question to you, the question of the Holy Spirit to you, what kind of compromise do you have in your life? Where is that evil leaven of religion and that evil leaven of Herod, the culture of the earth? Where does it have you impotent in your relationship with the Lord? As I pray, please come and get the communion elements and please go back and see, will you come up and want to play some music? And we're going to do one last song. So at worship team, if you come up, go ahead and grab you some elements on the way up, though, so that you can go ahead and take it also. And I want to close in one last worship song, whatever they want to choose. Well, Father, I pray, Lord, I repent of my life. Lord, and we're tired of compromising our life. We're tired of the impotence in our life, Lord, of not moving in the power and splendor that guys like Peter, James, and John moved in. And Lord, would you allow, Holy Spirit, we're crying out that you would come and bring an impartation of the very life of Christ. As we take these communion elements, would you bring the impartation of living at a place of love and truth that you lived at, King Jesus? Lord, we look at society and we look 46 some odd years later, Lord, of what it's the deterioration, even taking 10 commandments out of public's places now, Lord, and we just say, Holy Spirit, set us ablaze with the truth and love, and we cry out for revival in this nation. But Lord, start with us first. Start with each and every one of us individually first. We say we're tired of sin, and we want your holiness in a place and around. Lord, for anybody here who is sick physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, come Holy Spirit as they take it and bring life and healing and wholeness. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.